with 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world. This is Bondi Tunes International.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting from Australia to the world. And I'm joined by Ollie Booker, who is in the city of Seguin, and I hope I pronounced that properly, near San Antonio in Texas. Welcome to our show, Ollie.
Thank you.
I love what you do, and I know that you're very involved with, clothing of all sorts. And there's an angle on this because you have a lot of friends in different parts of Central America. And I just want to let our listeners know that you've got gifts, imports, Mayan textiles, weaves, adornments from the highlands of Guatemala. And we'll talk about these items and the stuff you sell, which is really interesting. I've been through some of what you sell. But first of all, why you've got a fascination with Guatemala. Tell me that story.
Well, I began my travels in Central America going to Honduras with the Episcopal Church. And, I was trying to work. They were working with the people trying to build buildings and, you know, help the people of Honduras who are so unbelievably oppressed. And I was trying to work with them on art. And they never could quite bless the poor people. They've lost all their culture, really. And so I slowly began to tap over into Guatemala, and there my whole world changed. I mean, it was just unbelievable the fact that these people were still wearing their traditional clothing, and that dates back thousands of years, and the intricacy, and the women wear the blouses that are called the huipils. And they, you know, go back into their histories, and on the huipils will be the stories of their animals, their mountains, the volcanoes, and the colors. It was just a whole new world for me, and people that were very interested in working with me as well.
What actually led you there? And how long ago was this?
Oh, my God. I think I started going to Honduras with the Episcopal Church in 1989, and then 1990, and again began. We were like, well, we're here in Honduras. Let's see the sights. Let's go next door and check out Guatemala. So, you know, that's what brought me over to Guatemala at. And, of course, from there on, it was total love. I still have a godson in Honduras, and I have ties in Honduras. But to be able to be creative and to make the things I do, it was definitely Guatemala. Those were the people that wanted to work with me, wanted to do new things. And so,
I just want to apologize. There's a siren outside my window here on Bondi Beach in Sydney.
Not a problem. We're used to those.
Yes, I know. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, but anyway, then I began to, in fact, every year that we would go to Honduras, my one of the veterinarians that was working there with me became my travel buddy, and we both had a thing for third world countries. And so we began to, you know, of course, when we left Honduras, go on to Guatemala, and, you know, through that began to just meet the families and meet people and meet friends, and it just built from there.
It sounds like you felt at home. You know, obviously you're from Texas, but it sounds like you felt a kind of a spiritual connection there.
I certainly did. And then, you know, of course, I began to, with that, research the political side of it, and realized again in Honduras and in Guatemala the sad situation my country had promoted there, and began to hear the history of what was happening in the late 50s and early 60s, and then the war. In fact, I was traveling in Guatemala a lot during the war, but in relatively safe places. So, you know, began all of that began to just touch my heart, and I grew closer and closer, and realizing what these beautiful Mayan people had gone through, and also realizing how they were treated with their government and with the hierarchy in the Guatemalan society. And again, it was kind of like, you know, they were subservient and, you know, not... the same story we got with our, you know, African Americans, and it just began to break my heart. And then all of my friends now are Mayan people, and to go, oh my God, these people are so incredible. I mean, their art, their ideas, their whole culture, their whole tradition is so incredibly, incredibly beautiful. So now,
can I ask you, Ollie, can I ask you just a bit of detail on the war? Because I actually don't know the history of this. What did it entail? What were the factions involved in this?
Well, okay, and of course, we had United Fruit. That I don't know if you've ever read the book The Brothers, and it's just an incredibly depressing story of our government's involvement and how many of the people in our government were tied to this United Fruit and had money invested in it. And so in 1950 there was a banana blight, and the United Fruit began to take over and take power, and they wanted control over all of this land that because they wanted to control the blight and, of course, keep making money. And of the Mayan people, their land is so sacred. Their corn is part of their, you know, whole spiritual being. And here you had, I think it was John Foster Dulles and his brother that began this covert action there because we wanted power and we wanted control. So we slowly began to incorporate our military into Guatemala to try to get control. They had, I think it was in 1959, a president that wanted to begin to help. The same thing happened in Honduras recently, by the way.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give the people a chance and begin to, you know, have public schools for all and all the good things, you know, all the really good things. And of course he gets labeled a commie. And so there is a picture in this book, The Brothers, on the Dulles, where they are actually stripping him to his underwear before they sent this president into exile in Mexico. And that began this upper echelon's power for control. And they began to slaughter, you know, so many of the Mayan people were murdered and slaughtered because our government was helping and wanting their land for the United Fruit, you know, just like it always is for oil or something like that. This was for control of the United Fruit Company.
It just seems such a tragedy, given that these are spiritual people going back thousands of years, obviously. Were they able to defend themselves at all?
Not really. There is this one priest, Father Stanley Rother, and I met him. He's deceased. He was a martyr, but I fell in love with him the first time I went to the church. And he was from Oklahoma. And when he went there, the upper echelon of the Catholic Church was saying, oh, he's just a farm boy. He doesn't know anything. You know, he can't get, you know, all the dogma correct, blah, 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 blah. But he went there when this area along Lake Atzitlan, and this is the town of Santiago, he began to these people were desperate and so poor, and he began to love them. He began to accept their culture. He knew farming techniques, so he began to, you know, really help them and in what they needed to grow. And he became so beloved by these people, and he wanted them to be able to keep their sacred Mayan tradition within the church, and allowed them to, you know, make that part of the mass. And he was murdered by the government, probably with our government's help at the time.
Yes.
It's very sad. And his heart now resides. The people there ask him if they could keep his heart there when his body went back to Oklahoma. And I love this guy. I mean, every year when I go, I light candles to him.
Cuánto gusto nos da poder saludarles. Somos el grupo de música Maya Aj de San Juan Comalapa, y con gusto les presentamos la melodía tradicional La Quema.
If you have just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. I'm talking with Ollie Booker, who is a wonderful person who loves Guatemala and sells on the beautiful fabrics they make. Let's rejoin that conversation, and currently we're talking about the politics of Guatemala. What's the situation in Guatemala now?
Well, just like in Honduras, it's horrible. The government is, they basically don't care about the people. They care about, their power and to stay in power, and they're doing very little for the people. And again, the Mayan people and the poor people are just like, you know, so subservient and so unimportant. And in Honduras, I have a godson there. And the president there is so corrupt, he's probably involved in, his brother's been arrested in the United States for drug smuggling. And we helped form that coup, I think it was probably 10 or 15 years ago. Our government was involved in the coup. Another really good guy who wanted to help his people, and we went in and ousted him. And I hate to say it, but I think, you know, Hillary Clinton might have been involved in that one. I hate to say that. I know.
Gosh.
I'm a big liberal, and I hate to say that. But, you know, again, let's look at the truth.
Yes.
But now, my godson, they can't get the COVID. The president is keeping them all locked up. They can't get out. They can't work. I'm trying to help my godson as much as I can every month. And he had a college degree and a good job, and now, and I think one of the drug companies had offered them some of the vaccines, and he refused because he couldn't put a program together to explain to them what he would do and how he would disperse it. So it's all corrupt over there.
Gee.
And again, I take such I have so much emotion because my government has helped all of this happen over the last 30, 40 years.
Mm. Well, you know what, you know, Ollie, and by the way, if you've just joined us, I'm Henry from Bondi Tunes International, and I have on the line Ollie Booker in Texas, has been to Guatemala many times. The truth is, Ollie, we're all responsible. I live in Australia, even though I'm Irish. Our government has probably got a number of skeletons in their closet, as does Britain, if you think about wars in Iraq twice, and Syria, and of course the triangular situation was America, Britain and Australia all have blood on their hands. So, you know, I want to ask you, actually, when you go to Guatemala, do you fear for your life? Do you feel threatened?
Never. I have been with my families and my friends. They take such good care of me. Guatemala is, now Honduras, we quit going to Honduras. I mean, my godson had a gun held to his head twice while he was robbed. The buses aren't safe. Yeah, the buses aren't safe. You know, nothing is safe there. It's gangs, you know, running the whole shebang. But Guatemala, I mean, even like I say, I was there during the war, and I never, ever felt afraid or, you know, with the people that I'm with. And now we go very, there's some clothing that I'm doing. It's a very special material from a region way up in the highlands of Guatemala that you can only get there. And they, during the war, I think in Rigoberta Menchú's book, her brother in this particular village, they were all taken out and burned and shot with the villagers watching. And so this town is very, when you go, they are, you know, very skeptical of you at first. And
yeah, I
now,
bet they are,
I have so many friends there, and again, the material there is like nothing anywhere else in the world, and, you know, I love going there, and I'm invited to the women's homes, and they help me find material and weepils that I want to work with for, you know, my projects, and I feel incredibly safe, and plus, I feel so fortunate to get to share their stories and what they went through, and the fact that we're friends now. So.
And Ollie, you've provided your own segue here to talk about what you do. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of our broadcast, I mentioned that you've got these gifts, imports, you know, Mayan textiles, and what you do is you have these wonderful people producing these, let's say, clothing or whatever, and they send it to you, and you on sell it through the internet. Is that right?
Right, and what we do is I will go there, I will buy the weepil, I will buy this very special material, and a lot of the material for, I have men's, women's, you know, shirts that, you know, either a man or a woman could wear, and they are done out of a lot of, the women will wrap a lot of this material around them as skirts. They'll wear the weepils, they wear very special belts, and then they wrap a variety of material around them as skirts, and it's incredible cotton. I mean, it lasts forever. My partner has a shirt he bought 12 years ago and is washed and everything, and it still looks the same. But I can custom make things. I have a site on Etsy now. It's Guatemala with Ollie on Etsy, And then I have my website that I'm kind of in the process of redoing. I'm leaving things on it right now just for people to be able to kind of get an idea of what I want or what I'm doing. And then if they want to contact me through the website personally, I can custom make things or talk to them about what I'm doing. And that's www.olliesgiftsandimports.com. And I have a lot of videos. You know,
yes,
on
I saw some
website.
Of the videos are fascinating. You're not shy, are you, Ollie?
No.
They're great. They're lovely, lovely videos. And I just want to let our listeners know Etsy.com is Etsy.com, which I'm sure you were going to say anyway. But what I think is great about Ollie's Gifts and Imports.com, your own website, is that you can, as you say, you can get all this information, you can see pictures, you can see videos, and then you go to Etsy if you want to buy some of this fantastic stuff.
Right, and Etsy's a little bit more expensive. If people ever wanted to contact, if they see something on Etsy they're interested in, with Etsy I have to pay for advertising and then the shipping, and then they take a cut as well. So, again, if somebody saw something on Etsy and loved it, they can contact me. And I already have people. When I go, I'm going to be able to go in June. I've had my shots.
Excellent.
I didn't get to go last year, and it just devastated me. But I worked with my people through WhatsApp and, you know, Messenger. And so, but I'm actually going to get to go this year. And when I go, I love to make little videos. And also my Facebook, Ollie's Gifts and Imports, not Ollie Booker. That's my personal Facebook. But on my Ollie's Gifts and Imports, I have a whole lot of other movies if one wanted to scroll down and see everything that I've done there.
I must check that out. So if you're in Facebook, it's all one word. Ollie's Gifts and Imports.
On Facebook.
Okay.
And I'll friend anybody that gives me information on it.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I'm fascinated by this. You know, I did a series called Zero Waste, actually, here on Bondi Tunes International a couple of years ago. And people, especially young people, are throwing out literally tons, like 50 tons of clothing in one day. Every single day. And this is, of course, I'm referencing this because you talk about the clothing that you're selling and that has been made by the wonderful people in Guatemala lasts for years.
You know, like I have also a lot of the scarves and things like that. They're done on a loom. These women weave them. I mean, I work with some of the things I have are from a weaving co-op where the women actually have come together and they're all doing these incredible scarves, and I don't have a lot of those posted, but I have a few on Etsy. But they're just beautiful works of art and hand loom, and of course the traditional clothes that they've always worn have always been done on a loom. So
And that's fascinating too, isn't it? I mean, the attention to detail, of course. Fantastic stuff. Okay. Look, I just want to remind our listeners, Ollie's Gifts and Imports.com is a place to go. You can find out a lot of stuff there. It's great videos and pictures. And then you go to etsy.com if you want to further your interest and maybe make a transaction. This is high quality stuff. Ollie Booker, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for joining
thank
me here
so
on Bondi.
And also, yes, let me tell you, if they go to Etsy, they need to then go to Guatemala with Ollie.
Sorry, okay? Guatemala with Ollie when you get to Etsy. Okay.
Right.
And
okay. I've enjoyed talking with you too.
Okay.
Hello, Australia.
Ollie, I just want to let our listeners know, Ollie's brother, Thomas Booker, is one of our North American correspondents in Texas. It's lovely to talk to you. We'll have a chat again, perhaps when you're in Guatemala. Ollie, thank you. And if you can just stay on the line for a second. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
This is Thomas Booker, North America correspondent for Bondi Tunes International in San Antonio, Texas, also once known as San Antonio de Bejar, named for a Spanish duke from the city of Bejar in Spain. I come from family in North Texas and Northern Louisiana. I attended technical school in San Antonio, then started a career in research and development for a San Antonio-based company from which I am recently retired. That career saw me working on instrument development in the areas of geophysics, space sciences, material sciences, and material synthesis. All that took 40 years out of my life. I always wanted to move away from San Antonio, if not Texas, but I always found the opportunities in life here and not elsewhere. I've been places, but there ain't no reason to talk about them now. I have read things, watched things, and somehow managed to learn things, but there ain't no reason to talk about them now. I cover the south central part of the USA and other parts as required, and I mean to convey the honest truth about situations and matters, but there ain't no reason to talk about them now. I'm Thomas Booker, Texas correspondent, and I am Bondi Tunes International.
With 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world, this is Bondi Tunes International.
This is Bondi Tunes International broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm joined by Jennifer Barrett, the incredibly talented Jennifer Barrett, who, of course, is far away from me. She's in Kingston in Jamaica. Hey, how you doing, Jennifer?
I am fine, and I am so excited that the world is really so excited about me at this time. It is really incredible. I'm telling you, it's so much a massive response of the people to my talent at this time. You know, I must say greetings to we're in Australia.
Yes, yes, we're broadcast mostly in Europe and North America, but it's lovely to have you on. You you know, became a friend of mine last year here on social media, on Facebook. I've just been watching a video of you, and I just should point out it's Jennifer Barrett and Skunkhead and Marching for Freedom. Can I ask you, Jennifer, your music seems quite political to me. Has that always been the case?
Well, I can say yes and more. You know, it's when I'm doing love affair, it's political too.
Yes, yes, of course.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, because over the years I've seen that the government system is really robbing us of a lot of joy and freedom. You know, you know, I knew it was gonna come to something like this, you know, finally, you know, because I saw it coming. I'm telling you, I saw this coming, because the thing is, you know, why should you come and dictate to people like that? Mm. Everything is just this bag of dictatorship to people that put you in. You understand what I mean?
Yes,
yeah,
I do understand.
We don't have a say in anything that they do. If we put you in to lead us, don't we supposed to have a say if you're going to plan to move a wall? We are supposed to say, okay, you know, that wall cannot be moved, or, yeah, you can move the wall. We're supposed to be involved in this thing, and they wipe us out totally from it.
Well, just tell our listeners about the political situation in Jamaica as it stands at the moment.
Is the same political, you know, downfall and shredding of the people, because this COVID that they have upon the people worldwide is a lot of restrictions. You have to be at home before 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. and you have to get off the road, or else you're going to be locked up. And it's total craziness. It's like you're suffocating the life of the people. You understand? And then now they come with this this vaccine situation in which you try to force the people to die.
Mm. Well, when you say that, do you mean that the vaccine is dangerous?
It is dangerous. I want to show you something now. Mm-hmm. If I'm not sick, why you want me to be sick? Forcing me to be sick. Mm-hmm. If all of the people survive the period when the COVID was there, because what I realize now is that the COVID is really slowing down. But what is happening is they expected more people to die, because it's like government plan a mass murder on the people. You know, you want to take the people out without God's intuition. And God never tells you to take out the people. So why you plan to take out the people like that?
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's government is playing a dangerous game. It's playing a dangerous game with nature.
What is Kingston like, downtown Kingston, when you go out? Are there many shops open? What's the story?
Yes, the shops are open, but they have to be closed at 6 p.m. You know, it has to, everybody has to close the businesses at 6 p.m. and, you know, allow 2 hours for travel for to be at home. And I find out that is a real, you know, it. I don't know. You know, can you imagine you have a business and you have to pay taxes and all of that, and you don't allow the business people to make enough money to in order to pay you for that tax? It's like you plan to close down totally on the people. I can't just fathom where they're taking this vibration to. So everybody just have to sit and wait and see what they're really up to. Yeah.
Mm.
But I know at the end it's danger.
You are a performer. I presume that you have been restricted in terms of performing on stage.
Right. The you know, I remember someone was talking to me, and I said to them, they really can't close the music down. I mean, you know, they asked me about the performance via I think it's Zooming or something like that,
yes,
right?
Zoom, yeah.
And I'm saying to them, you know, where are we taking this life? Can you imagine, I am not seeing you really, but I'm performing. We have to come together as a people, because that's how the energy connects. You know, when I see you, it's like I have in a love affair, and you are overseas in Australia, and I'm in Jamaica. Mm. We are over the phone. I know that it can be a love, but you know, when our bodies come together, it's more powerful. You understand
yes, of
what
course.
I'm saying? So it's like what they're planning is a slow death. It's a slow death, but at the same time, they know they cannot stop the energy of the music. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we're waiting until the music is what is making the people survive this type of situation at this time, because they're listening to the music, and that is helping them to really go on every day for what they have to do for their everyday life. The music is helping them, really. Yes.
Of course it is. And I just want to talk, talking of music, I want to talk about your history as an artist. You obviously were born in Jamaica. I noticed yes. that you were encouraged by your teacher at school to sing in the choir
yes.
for the Prime Minister.
Yes. Yes, I was. My God, it was such a mystic, because I remember when we had music school and the class, you know, everybody has different subjects, so it was music class. So I was there and I was singing, and the teacher said, "Wow, but you have a lovely voice." I said, "No, miss, I'm just singing." She said, "No, your voice is special." And then I said, "Okay, miss." And then she said, "Okay, we're going to have... I'm going to invite you to sing for the Prime Minister." I said, "What?" You know, I couldn't.
Wow.
You know when your teacher asks you to do anything, you're not going to let down your teacher. You know, wow. If your teacher tells you to jump the wall, you want to jump the wall to please her. You know, and I said, "Wow, that is special." I said, "Okay, miss, I will do that for you." And then she said, "I don't only want you to sing. I want you to lead the choir." I was, "What?"
Mm.
So I was, my God, I'm put in a position. And hear what the thing is, though, when I was, I was so nervous. When I was leading the choir, though, Miss teachers now to go left because, I mean, some audience was there, so we were supposed to go left. So I was turning my head. What did they say? Left, right, left, right, left, right. I was like, God, you know, I was so very excited. And then when my teacher, when I was finished, I said, oh, you did a wonderful job. I said, thank you, Miss. And I didn't really realize that I was going to end up being an artist, you know. I was saying to myself, but look at the thing. Miss, just for the moment, and here I am in music.
Bondi Tunes International, virus-free.
Around the world and down your street.
And if you've just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting from Australia to the world. And I'm currently talking with Jennifer Barrett. And she's from Jennifer Barrett and Skunkhead, and they've got a fantastic song which we're going to play later called Marching for Freedom. I now talk to her about travelling and touring with the Wailers. So you went on tour for 6 months with the Wailers.
Yes.
And what was that like? What was, because this was like, I think, in 1989?
Yes,
or was that before that?
No, 1989 was my first record, but it was in the 90s, 1998, I think. It was 98, yes. I think it was 98 I went on tour with them. In 1989, I did my first record with New Name Recording.
Which is the world yes. is filled with war.
This filled what war? Yes, this world is filled with war. But I tell you about the journey with the Wailers band. It was such an experience. The first time they took me to St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And I remember when I came off the plane, I remember the promoter. I will never forget this man named Mr. Franklin. And he said to me, who are you? And I said, I'm Jennifer Barrett. And he said, no, who are you? I said, I'm Jennifer Barrett. He said, no, when I see you come off the plane, there's a light following you. I said, a light? But I don't understand what you're saying. He said, yes, there's something special about you. I said, okay. And then he say me, okay, are you a vocalist? I said, no, I just come to back up the Wailers, you know. And he said, okay. So he brought me to the hotel, and the man decided that he was not going to leave me. He wanted to still speak to me. And he ended up in my hotel room sitting down and asking me who I am, if I'm a vocalist. And I was, what the heck is this? I just written a tour at the point. The promoter harassing me like this. I thought it was an harassment, but when I really looked into it, I said, no, there must be something that this man sees that I don't see for myself. Huh? So he was saying to me, I see something about you. But I said, okay, I'm a vocalist, but I just come at the moment to back up. He said, I know there's something about you. I said, yeah, I do. You know, because when you arrive as an artist, sometimes you take the opportunity to do backing vocals in order to propel you. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so they carry me out so that I can see what the journey is really like. And you know, I remember when I went in New Zealand with them, and my God, the massive crowd! I was, wow, this is the result of the music. I was very impressed with the thing. Yeah.
Were you nervous? Were you nervous at all?
No, funny. I was not nervous when I'm singing. I'm not nervous. I'm not a nervous person when I'm about to sing. It's like, you know, when you transform, something just transform you. Yeah. When I'm on stage, it's like I'm just transforming to another person, because reggae music carries a very big spirituality about it, because it's like it's the cry of the people. It's like you want to reach the people's soul. So it's like when I'm singing, I want to reach their soul. I want to let them understand that Jack cares for them, and they don't have to bear so much burden by themselves. You know, I want to teach them, really. Yeah,
I can feel you reaching my soul, and you're not even singing. let me ask you about working on an album with the legendary Toots Hibbert. What was that like?
Oh my God! Toots Hibbert, Someone invited me at a recording studio, and they were playing my at the time there was a cassette at the time, so they were playing my music on the outside, and I saw this man running out of the studio. And when he was running out of the studio, I didn't know a lot of the artists, their names. I didn't really are familiar with them, so I didn't know that it was Tootsie Bird. So he said, "Who was that singing like that?" And I said, "It's me." It's me, Jennifer Barrett. I said, "It's you singing like that?" And I said, "Yes." But he said, why are you here?" I said, "I'm here because they invited me." I said, "No, but I want to do an album with you." I said, "What?" He said, "Yes, you have a very special voice." I said, "Thank you very much." And then I started to work with him. But I'll tell you something now. I was so eager to arrive at the world at any given moment, because I remember when I said to him, just do the album and let the world, just give the world the thing. But you know, he was saying to me, it's not like that. It is like, because I sounded so special, he wanted to put a price on the thing. And I said, don't put so much price on the thing, because you know, I just want to be known first. Yes. I just want to be known first. You know, and it didn't see that way. And I was feuding with him too much. And I had to find my way. And see, I'm here to the world.
Yes, obviously you got global radio play. You had been in France, but you returned to France to appear at the Universal Reggae Festival. What was that like? It must have been incredible.
Yes. Oh my God. As I said, I remember that year. I will never forget that year when I went to that festival. It was, I stepped into the country with two hit songs. I was telling someone in 2013, I had Jalovi's Overall and All Mine, yes, by Romy Kay. So it's like I never knew what that the people were so interested and so in love with my voice. When I went there, it's like, whoa, I was blown away. You know, it's like the people were there waiting for Jennifer Barrett. And it was, what the heck? You know, I mean, everything is so mystical to me, you know. Even now, I knew it was going to come to a point where the people are going to say, wow, what a beautiful voice. Because I know I had it in me, but I just want to be presented to the world.
Yes, yes. And, yes. You know, you were all over the place. You were in Europe, obviously, playing in places like France, Belgium, Italy, Germany, Spain.
It
must have been fantastic for you. And I think really what you're saying is that you sort of feel like that you're very much appreciated, and it was almost a surprise to you.
Right. Mm. You're right. Because a lot of the artists, they come with a crew. Now, they see me as a single female, because a lot of them ask me, you're not afraid to be traveling as a woman across the world like that by yourself? I said, uh-uh. Because the thing is I was ordained this way. It's my mission. You understand? Mm. It's my mission.
Yes.
So wherever you place me to arrive, I have to arrive to deliver the message to the people. It's like that, because I was saying, but what do you want me to do? You don't want to present me. So just presenting me to the people. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
And so what are you up to now? I actually want to reference the band, Skunkhead. Is that tell me about Skunkhead.
Oh, Skunkhead. Skunkhead. Skunkhead is the artist, and he's also a musician. He was the person. I had a song named Step Away that went in Vibes magazine, and he was the musician for the rhythm. So what happened is the song was growing big in Europe, and he decided that he wanted to also do a collab with me. So he says he's going to take a plane and arrive in Jamaica just in order to do that. And I was saying, wow. I said, okay, fine. And I remember he sent various rhythms to me, and he said, okay, Jennifer, I want you to choose one of this rhythm and do your thing. And I remember I got the rhythm like today, and in the night I was just writing away like that. It's just like, it's everything is just like a mystic, because when I choose this rhythm and I said, John, what should I put on this rhythm? And he said, listen to me now. Put the thing, Marching for Freedom. It's like you know, when Jah is showing you something that is going to arrive to the people and he wants to set you up in the right position. It's like that. I did the song the night I sent it to Skunkhead. He was wowed about it. And he said, okay, you know, I have to write my part. And I remember when Skunkhead came, he said, I don't have any other part apart from one verse. I said, no, no problem. I write the whole song, you know. So I remember how I had was to train him also, because he speak French and he don't know the English so properly. In order to voice this track, I had was to carry him somewhere first, rehearse him before we went into the studio, and this is the history of it. Yes, sir.
And you did a video which I've just watched. And by the way, just to let our listeners know, Jennifer Barrett and Skunkhead will be playing that song, Marching for Freedom, which is really... the video and the song are just fantastic. Obviously, a very clear yes, message, yes. Jennifer, in that song.
Yes, 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 yes. That's what the people are saying to me. I remember the people contacting me about the song and saying that they will follow me to march and to take down things that is affecting them. And I tell you, as I said, everything is a shock and surprise, because I never know that the thing was going to be so massive, you know. No, I really didn't. You know,
I'm sure you're pleased.
By surprise. I am very happy.
And you are a spiritual person, obviously. Do you meditate? Do you get your music in a spiritual way?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Mm. Before I write a song, I make sure I ask Jah, what do you want the people to hear at this time? Because, you know, you have to let the Spirit lead you. It's not like you're wild, you're picking up topics all over there. No, that's not what I do. What I do when someone sends a rhythm to me, I say, Jah, what do you want to say to your people at this time? Because, you know, sometimes you don't know the direction, what the people are doing. Sometimes you see it and you don't know which direction to really arrive them at. Mm. So I always ask Jah, which direction must I arrive them at? What must I say to them so that they can understand that you are the supreme being? You know, because the people are so preoccupied with so much negative thing. It's like it amazes me. It wows me. They don't remember that there is a supreme being. They take him out of existence, and I'm saying that they're running dangerous. They're in a dangerous position with Jah at this time. You know, so even though because the COVID is there, because you're in a dangerous position, Jah allow you to just die. You understand? Yes. He's not going to come at your rescue until you acknowledge him, eh? It's like that, eh?
Yeah. Okay, now, look, where do people get hold of your music?
Okay, you can get it on iTunes, Bandcamp, TuneCore, Spotify, and you can get because I have records, you can get the records online, so online record shops, you know? Mom, Warning, Mr. Jacket, and
so you're
Ty,
everywhere.
Justice.
You're everywhere. I just want to, if you're listening to us and you're interested in this, and this song is just amazing, it's just look up Jennifer Barrett, Barrett, and Skunkhead, Skunkhead. Jennifer, we're going to go out with this song, Marching for Freedom, here on Bondi Tunes. Thank you so much for joining me, and if I can ask you to stay on the line.
Okay, I want to thank the world for listening to me. Thank you, Henry, for interviewing me at this time right across the world. I'm sending the world love, and I'm praying for their safety, and we will get through with this thing together. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio, and we're going out with Jennifer Barrett and Skunkhead, Marching for Freedom.
Rap, rap time!
Freedom.
Freedom.
We're marching for freedom.
freedom, yeah. Hear this. We're tired of these shackles and pain. Man have to learn to live again. Our thoughts and gain. Too much bullets in the brain. When are we gonna learn to live together?
Together.
One world, one love, you're my brother. The dangers I see you put yourselves in. Spiral with that dark within. Marching for freedom.
What the people's become enemy. Them ready fi fight a kill fi get the power and money. Nobody no tell you already that the war is ugly. Yeah, the war is ugly. Me attack seriously. All over the world everybody just want to be free. Right now only the freedom and the justice we are free. Tired fi see your next innocent in a cemetery. In a cemetery.
We're marching for freedom, hey. Them and I give them false hope.
Come in on the music and I sing some half note.
Plot up them in and I take Rastafari things for Joe.
And when you are sing to them, one come take you out. Them hunting after vintages.
Boasting over wrong pleasures.
They are not smart or clever.
Victory should be their main endeavor. Freedom.
And many thanks to Jennifer Barrett there. This is Bondi Tunes International broadcasting around the world. Coming up in less than 5 minutes, I'll be talking with Thomas Booker, our correspondent in San Antonio de Bayar in Texas. And we're going to talk about space, the final frontier. And also we cross to Tasmania for our correspondents there, Paul and Joe Volta. And we talk about current situation politically in Australia. It's all flaring up, I've got to tell you. See you in 3 minutes.
Outside the rain begins, and it may never end. So cry no more on the shore, a dream will take us out to sea. Forevermore, forevermore. Close your eyes and dream, and you can be with me. Neath the waves, through the caves of owls, long forgotten now. We're all alone, we're all alone. Close the window, calm the light. once a story's told, it can't help but grow old. Roses do, lovers too, so cast your seasons to the wind and hold me dear. Oh, hold me dear. Close the window, come alive, and it will be alright. No need to bother now. Let it out, let it all begin. All's forgotten now. We're all
the sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.